You know, I did find a needle on the ground while I was walking the dogs the other day. And I didn't pick it up or anything, but I think it's a good sign that the vaccines are more prevalent now. I'm assuming that's what that was. That was probably, you know, it was a needle right in the, it was capped. Okay. They were respectful.
Let's do it.
Hello, everyone, listeners near, far, in between, and all the ships in space. Welcome to another episode of Horse Feathers. I am your host, your stepfeather-in-law, thrice removed, Jake, and I am very excited to be with you today. It is January 14th, 2021, the year of our Lord. I don't know why they always say the year of our Lord every year. Shouldn't they call it like another year of our Lord? Or maybe like a continuation of the time of our Lord. Or the arbitrary human markings that we put on time so as not to go criminally insane of our Lord. it's a beautiful day outside. The weather is great. One of the best things about living in Texas is that you don't have to shovel snow for an hour before you go to work every day. I got up real quick this morning without worrying about frost on my car or anything like that because it is a balmy 63 degrees outside. What am I, a real radio show? It's 63 degrees outside, and welcome to another episode of Horse Feathers. We're here to give you the news, traffic, and all the things that you can't use because this is actually a podcast and not a radio broadcast. No, the weather down in Texas in winter is usually pretty beautiful. Dallas, you know, you may have heard that Texas got a lot of snow recently. It was everywhere except for Houston. Excuse me, and Dallas. Well, it snowed in Dallas, but it did not stick. You would look up, and it was like, oh, what a beautiful sight. All this beautiful glory and grace from heaven falling down upon us, alighting, you know, gently on our hair and beard and shoulders. And then you look at the ground, and it was slush because it was actually like 36 degrees. And definitely was not cold enough to stick in the city. But everywhere else, everyone was making, you know, shitty snowmen. Texans don't know how to make a good snowman, I'll tell you that. Unless they're, you know, expatriates from some northern state, they don't know how to do it. They definitely don't know how to make a clean snowman, you know? Every time you see a snowman from Texas, it's got like sticks and hay and dog poop. They stick a carrot in there and call it good and just look, it looks bad. Or a slush man. It's just like the desperation of Texans when it snows is next level. Because we barely get it and... you know, unless we all, every Texan vacations in Colorado, period. Okay. And if you don't, if you've been a Texan your whole life and you haven't vacationed in Colorado, your aunt has. Okay. Someone close to you has. Because every time we go to Colorado for, you know, we've gone skiing for spring break, we've gone skiing for Christmas. And every time we go, there's just Texas, there's more Texas license plates than Colorado in the ski town that we go to, you know. But when it comes to snow in Texas, we are uninitiated at best, I think. Especially driving. We talked about that, I think, previously on the podcast, but it was beautiful. You know, we walked out in it, and it was great, but I'm glad that it didn't stick, and I'm glad, well, I'm not glad that it didn't stick, I'm glad that it didn't stay. If that was our life for the entire winter, I think we would be bummed out more than we already are. So I'm thankful for some vitamin D from the sky, from the sun, just kissing me every time I go outside. Thank you. Thank you for that sun. And it's really pretty outside. I like to throw, I've got these big Dead Poets Society sized like windows in my very old classroom.
Windows.
And I like to throw them suckers open when the weather's nice and just let all the fresh air come in. And as I was opening the windows, I saw a student skateboarding on the sidewalk trying to land an ollie off the stairs. And people should, I mean, I think a lot of people would say, like, it would be my job to stop that student and say, hey, that's not safe. Be some sort of, you know, to look out for the liability of the school and the safety of the student in that order. But I don't know. You know, skateboarding is not the worst thing that somebody can do. It just, you know, looks dangerous to people. So they should be studying math. No, let them land an ollie. Okay. Let them try to, you know, land this trick that they've been working on. It takes practice. That's what, you know, people don't realize about skateboarding is not everybody can do it. It takes practice, just like anything else. And the more, you know, your young mind is dedicated to practicing something and being good at something, even if it's not Algebra 2 or the viola. Musician friends are going to get on to me for that. Then just because it's not those things doesn't mean that it's not still a worthy endeavor. There's been a lot of successful professional skaters. And that's well documented. And there's been a lot of unsuccessful skaters too. And those are well documented in fail compilations on YouTube. But I don't think that I should stop a young person trying to do something rad. And that's generally my take on education as well. If it's rad, you keep doing it. You know? So I applaud that young woman and I look forward to seeing her nail it, land it. anyway. Been a pretty crazy couple of days, I'm sure, for a lot of us coming to terms with what society looks like and all those things. I'm going to try to get away from some of that, although don't worry, rest assured, I will be talking about it during News That's Important. Coming up after the break, News That's Important. But first, vaccines, where are they? That is actually what I want to talk about. So, you know, the vaccines have started rolling out, which is great. Very, very excited about that. Very glad to see modern medicine doing its thing. Okay. You may not be, you know, you may have like concerns and all that stuff. Sure, have you? You know, it's fine. But I am pumped to start rolling those things out. But it is kind of weird because of how shitty American healthcare is. The vaccination plan, which I've only heard like rumblings and whisperings of. Apparently, I have an email somewhere buried deep that I need to look at. But it feels unorganized the way that it's getting rolled out. And that's probably a big old systematic hullabaloo that I don't know about. And so I'm not trying to comment on who did a good job and who did a bad job. Although it's all bad. So it's all kind of whoever's fault it is, it sucks. But I don't care whose fault it is. It's just a little concerning the way that it's being rolled out. You know, I heard something about like, oh, well, I'm in group 1A, which is like, you know, elderly people, super, super old people that are susceptible to all the things, and frontline healthcare workers. And then 1B is like, you know, folks with folks in other healthcare jobs and some teachers and some, you know, there's some outcry about a bunch of politicians getting the vaccine before any of the people did, including the ones that were like, ah, COVID's a hoax. Blah. And that fucking sucks. But the, you know, you get vaccinations rolling, and you got like 1B, who's kind of like the next group of susceptible people, 65 plus. But then I don't know. I don't know what's next. You know, I don't know where I fit or who I should call or what do I have. Do I have to go to the doctor? Do I got to go to 7-Eleven? You know, do I got to go behind this dumpster? You know, this alleyway, where do I get it? And the, you know, it's like if you've ever flown Southwest, you don't have like an actual seat. You just kind of have a group that you're in. And it's like, okay, double A batteries, you know, loaded up. You guys, A, group A. And then they go and then you're like, oh, sorry, son, you're in group A, B. And he's like, whoa, okay, sorry. I didn't know I saw A. I went for it. It's kind of what it feels like. The vaccine feels like it was a... The process feels like it was derived from, you know, Southwest's boarding policy. Group 38C subsection Delta. Oh, damn it, dude. Who am I? So it's just kind of like needle. It feels like the vaccinations are just kind of floating in the ether, and you got to catch one. You just got to have. I've heard from other people. Like, I saw somebody walking by today with a sticker that I have the COVID vaccine, like it's an I voted sticker. And I think that once you get the COVID vaccine, you should be given a roll of those stickers so you can keep sticking them on you every day so that people, you know, people know it's safe to hug you or something. No, not like that. But it's a weird deal. I think it's like a, because you're like, oh, how did you get it? Do you have, well, I've got this, I've got asthma. Oh, okay. But then how did you get it? I just went up to Walgreens. I said, hey, you got one of them? And they're, yeah, here, sign this. On your merry way. What? Yeah, I just signed up and I went to the thing and they said, are you over 65? And I said, well, no. And they're like, nah, all right, here it is anyway. Whoa. So it's just, you know, I'm sure that there's more organization than I'm giving it credence for. So please do not, like, come at me for, well, he's a COVID vaccine denier. No. No. I'm very excited, whatever boarding group I'm in, to get the vaccine so that I can come to all of your houses and cough in your face and spit down your throat and give you all the hugs. Probably just that third thing. I'm probably just going to give you hugs, not the other stuff. But we could, and it would be relatively, probably wouldn't be that safe, honestly. Kind of gross. Scratch that. But, you know, vaccine, you got to wait for an owl to land on your windows. So that's why I have my windows up, truly. I mean, it's the fresh air, but I'm also waiting for an owl to bring me the vaccine. Just stick me with it. I just start hearing a glockenspiel play the Harry Potter theme. I'm like, Hedwig. She floats by. She doesn't even land. She just, like, lands with one foot on my shoulder and the other claw clutching a vaccine and just sticks me with it. I'm like, oh, do I have to sign anything? And she's already flown off. I'm like, oh, okay, hope that was a vaccine. You get the COVID vaccine? I think so. It was the weirdest thing. It was this owl. You got the owl? Yeah, I got the owl too. Some people, you know, a guy on a bike just drives by and said, sign here, please. You hear like a little, bell. Ring, ring. Sign here, please. He sticks you with it and drives off. You never see him again. What? But I'm glad that it's rolling out. I'm hoping to get the wifey in on it because I would like her to be safe. I want everybody to be safe. I want everybody to get the vaccine. I want everybody to, you know, let's get this moving. It's time to go see some live music again. All right, we got an itch. I've got an itch way down deep in my soul that's welling up. It's about to explode. I've got to play live music again. I've got to see live music again, or I'm going to go crazy. That and just, again, the ability to hug my buddies. I want to hug my buddies. Some of y'all are already hugging your buddies, and sometimes that's fine, and sometimes you get COVID, whatever. But I'm ready to do that without fear. Okay. Tired of being scared of hugs. You know, ready to be able to cough. Ooh, maybe not like that, but cough and be ready to go. Let's hear that again. That was the
they pushed me out and maced me.
Lady, you know, which of course I had to rip the one from the Animaniacs dub, not the actual video, because it's way better. Animani, totally insaney.
They pushed me out and maced me.
Bada bing. I can't remember why I was talking about that, but I'm just ready to hug people. I'm just ready to, like, you know, get close to people and not be afraid of getting close to people. I think everybody is ready for that. I think everybody's ready for that. But you got to catch a vaccine, dude. You got to wait for one to fly by your house. You know, I know this is another Harry Potter reference, but whatever. Maybe they're like the keys, you know, in that first movie where he's got all the keys flying around. He's got to catch one. I'm imagining needles, you know, with little wings on them flying around. And you got to catch one or just wait for one to stick you. You know, I did find a needle on the ground while I was walking the dogs the other day. And I didn't pick it up or anything, but I think it's a good sign that the vaccines are more prevalent now. I'm assuming that's what that was. That was probably, you know, it was a needle right in the, it was capped. Okay. They were respectful at least, but, there was a needle on the ground. Yeah. And that was by a church in the yard of the church. So I don't know if that's a sign that the vaccines are becoming more prevalent or if it's a sign that we should probably move soon. But in any case, glad that people are getting the vaccine. I'm very glad that we're just, you know, nature is healing. As is evidenced by the needle on the ground, nature is healing. So I hope that, you know, whoever that was a vaccine. And if it wasn't a vaccine, I hope that person gets the vaccine along with any other help they may need. All right. I wanted to address something that I feel that I am uniquely positioned to address, given my work experience as an English teacher. A lot of people have been throwing around the word Orwell or Orwellian and words like 1984. Some people like Animal Farm, but mostly it's 1984 and Orwellian. Perhaps you've seen some of this lately in response to what is happening on the censorship side of things in terms of Twitter shutting down a bunch of accounts that they did not appreciate, you know, because they were white supremacists and stuff like that, you know, no big deal. Shut those down and shut the presidents, the current presidents for 5 more days down as well, shut his account down as well. And so some people cried foul by invoking George Orwell and saying, this is like 1984. I've heard it called COVID-1984. Very almost clever. But a lot of people have been saying things like, oh, we're living in Orwellian times, brother. This is Big Brother. This is 1984. And I'm not sure that that is the best interpretation of, I don't know that the people that say this is like 1984 have ever actually read 1984. I would love to see the statistics. Carefully read. 1984, or anything else that George Orwell was talking about. Because getting your Twitter account shut down is not 1984. You just are using that because you're upset. And that's okay. But you got to know that you sound dumb. It's Orwellian. What does Orwellian mean? It means that I can't do what I want. What do you want to do? Kick out all the Mexicans. Well, yeah, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. So that's not Orwellian for us to stop you from doing that. No, it's 1984 up in here. I don't want to wear, they're making me wear pants when I go to Walmart. Yeah. Yeah. And they should. It's Orwellian, brother. So cut that out. The folks that are saying 1984, you know, using it to whine that they're not getting their way. That's not the move. 1984, brother. I've never read it, but I'm sure that that's what it is. People do that all the time. People mislabel things and mislabel literature references all the time. Much like people miss the point of a lot of things, honestly. People miss the point of books that have been around for a long time. Like, I don't know, the Bible. You know? People just don't read, or they read without critical intent, or they just read and they just absorb it. Swallow it whole without actually chewing it on it or thinking about it any, you know, for any amount of time that is respectable. I've got a hat that that I own that I got from this New York bookstore. And I think this was in like 2017, whenever I visited my friend in New York over the Christmas holiday for like 5 days. And I spent my day like walking around New York. That was a fun trip, actually. I just went by myself to visit them and got to, while they worked during the day, I just kind of strolled around New York and got to explore and just walked around. I would just kind of take a street and go for it. I would have my phone and be looking up, you know, where to go and what to see. But mostly I just kind of kept my phone in my pocket and I just walked around and I just saw what I could see. That was the trip that I got accosted a bunch of times by people trying to save the bees. Sarah, have you heard about the bees? Yeah, I heard from Stacy over there on the other block down. Okay, she already told me. Oh, you talked to Stacy? Yeah. Well, did she tell you about? Yeah, I got to go by. There's so many people out there trying to save the bees. Like, you're in New York City. Like, what? The bees are, you know, in Central Park, I guess, if they're anywhere, but maybe buzzing around the bodegas with the with some plants on top of them. I don't know. I don't actually know what a bodega is. But that was the trip that I got accosted. I actually, whenever I was in, I think that I had a mild celebrity sighting, too, when I was in New York. I walked by and I swear to God, I saw the chick who plays, is it Eowyn? The girl who Aragorn leads on in Lord of the Rings. You know what I'm talking about. Not his main chick that he ends up with. I'm talking about, you know, the horse girl that really, that really wants to get with him in the second movie. But that he says, no, I can't. I know I've been flirting with you. In a very medieval, valiant, what's the word? Chivalrous way. But no, my heart belongs to an elf, and you just don't compare. You really feel for her in that moment, but I saw that actress walking down the street in New York. And I didn't take a picture. I didn't stop her or anything like that. I didn't, you know, I have no proof to you that this happened, but I know for a fact that it was her because I've watched the Lord of the Rings movies a billion times. And she didn't look very different. She just looked like Eowyn walking around in a leather jacket and stylish pants. You know? So I saw her and I walked around New York a lot. And I was talking about New York because I went to a bookstore there. And I got this hat. This was in 2017, kind of right after the big election. I don't know if you guys remember. In 2016, we had an election. So it was after that. And I have this hat that is white, that is very plain lettering on the front that says, "Make America Read Again." Make America Read Again. Which is a funny little English teacher joke that I have. And I don't wear it around because I'm scared. I literally have worn it. I mean, it's the exact font as Make America Great Again. The exact font. The only difference is it's not a red hat. But they did have, Make America Great Again had white hats too. They had all sorts of, and so I wore it maybe a couple of times out. But now it just sits as like a desk decoration in my, in the safety of my classroom. And it's supposed to be like my fun little jab at ding dongs, like MAGA idiots. But it's also, you know, proves its own point, right? Make America Read Again. People like do a double take and they're like, what the? No, it says read. But the problem is that the word great and read are pretty close. If you look at them side by side, not that different. You just lop off the D and read and add a G and a T and you got great. So I've had to be very, careful. Sometimes I'll wear, this is where I really have to be careful. I've got this t-shirt, this big red t-shirt that says Make America Read Again. And it doesn't look like any sort of like immediately identifiable, you know, Trump merch, but it does say Make America Again, right? And so people are just woo, real hot about that. They get on edge about that a little bit. Just, you know, I get it. Totally fine. The problem is that I like to wear these button-up shirts open, you know, with my t-shirts at school. Like a flannel, like an open flannel or an open denim shirt or something like that over t-shirts to just kind of, you know, and that's my version of fancying it up, you know, throw a collared shirt open over a t-shirt. But the problem there is that REA and great and REA and read are very similar. And so I had the shirt covered up the D in read and all the student that I was passing saw was REA. And it was this, you know, young African-American gentleman. And he did a triple take. And I was like, no, we good. And I opened up my, like, we're good, dude. And he was just like, mister, you were about to catch some hands. I was like, yes, I understand. I get it. But they laughed. Everybody laughs whenever they see what it means. Whatever it actually says. But you got to be careful because people, it proves its own point because you have to read it, right? I have to read the hat. In the shirt, but you also have to be careful if you're going to wear such things because, I don't know, people have strong emotions. But I think that everyone should read just a little bit more carefully about Orwell in 1984 before they start literally every time that somebody feels bad about something, they just start saying, you know, If they're made to do something or if the cops stop them from doing something, it's like, we live in a society. They all start sounding like angsty 14-year-olds, you know, on Tumblr. It's Orwell. We read about this. It's 1984. Dummies. We're going to take a break. After we get back, we've got some spicy news that's important. Stick around. Hi, folks. Thanks so much for listening to Horse Feathers. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts so that you don't miss a single episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Horse Feathers Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at Horse Feather Pod, or you can email us at horsefeatherspod@gmail.com. If you like what you're hearing and you want more, $2 a month on the Patreon, patreon.com/horsefeatherspod. $2 there a month gets you 4 extra episodes a month, one per week, and early access to the regular episodes. We want to hear from you. Please send in questions, comments, violent complaints, or requests for advice over the DMs or email to be featured on the show. More than anything, if you're enjoying yourself, thank you so much for being here. Make sure to tell your friends. Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the program. I think it's high time we had ourselves. There's been lots of things going on in the news. Don't know if you've noticed. Some of the things you may have missed, which is the type of story that we like to cover here in...
News that's important. News that's important. News that's important.
So let's get into it. The first foremost thing that I want to talk about today is I've noticed that we've got ourselves some international bird trouble on our hands. You may have heard of Joe Biden, the presidential candidate. Perhaps he's not the most important Joe in the news today, or at least this afternoon, because Australian authorities investigate the case of, quote, Joe the Pigeon, who could be euthanized after being deemed a biosecurity risk. Okay. You have my attention. This is Australian news, by the way. Joe the Pigeon showed up in an Australian residential backyard on Boxing Day, whatever that is, and is believed to be an American racing pigeon that journeyed across the ocean on a ship. His arrival caused... Why didn't he fly? His arrival caused concern for Australia's agricultural department, who see him as a biosecurity risk to their native fauna and flora. Joe made headlines internationally when it was announced he was set to be destroyed, but the department has since said it is exploring the possibility of the re-export of the pigeon to the U.S. In a new development, the American Racing Pigeon Union didn't know. You know, ARPU. The American Racing Pigeon Union, ARPU, has suggested that that Joe the Pigeon is an Australian bird, after all, and that the blue tag on his leg is, in fact, counterfeit. What? Australia's agricultural department said Joe's case is currently being investigated. Now, this is extremely my shit when it comes to... When it comes to stories that we like to cover here, because there's just so many layers to unpack. This comes from the Associated Press. What the hell is that? One America News, probably. That's the Alternative Press, or maybe Alternative Truth. What do they call those? I can't remember. So all sorts of things to, you know. Basically, it left Oregon, okay? So it was one of these hipster birds. It was one of these. It probably took too many mushrooms, took a little too much of the psilocybin, started to think about, you know, I can fly, but, like, why am I so contained, you know? Probably got sick of hanging around the, you know, what are some other jokes that I can make? Some coffee houses and some craft brewery places, and he may have accidentally, you know, done his pigeon shit and picked up a stem of somebody's magic shroom or something like that, carried it to make his nest, and while he accidentally, you know, ingested some of it, he just started to think about what his life really meant. Really opened him up to some things. But he was from Oregon, is the point. He flew, well, he, you know, 8,000 miles away, he ends up in Australia. But Dion Roberts, sport development manager for the Oklahoma base. Of fucking course it's Oklahoma. Of course it's Oklahoma. Based American Racing Pigeon Union said on Friday that the band that was found on the bird's leg was fake. Okay. The band number belongs to a blue bar pigeon in the United States, which is not the bird pictured in Australia, she said. The bird band in Australia is counterfeit and not traceable, Robert said. They do not need to kill him. This is so crazy. Australia's agricultural department, which is responsible for biosecurity, agreed that the pigeon dubbed Joe after, okay, U.S. President-elect Joe Biden was wearing a fraudulent copy leg bend. I swear to God, no one can, no one named Joe can rid themselves of fraudulent, you know, controversy. But I think that's why they named it, you know, that. Following an investigation, as said in a statement, the department has concluded that Joe the pigeon is highly likely to be Australian and does not present a biosecurity risk. And the department said it will take no further action. This is insane. Acting Australian Prime Minister Michael McCormick had earlier said that there would be, quote, no mercy if the pigeon was from the United States. Jeez. Good thing he's just talking about a pigeon, because this is like, this is some warmongering conversation. If Joe is coming away that has not met our strict biosecurity measures, then bad luck, Joe. Either fly home or face the consequences. Jesus. Martin Foley, health minister for Victoria's state where Joe is living, had called for the federal government to spare the bird, even if it did pose a disease risk. Well, I would urge the Commonwealth's quarantine officials to show a bit of compassion, Foley said. Yeah, dude, show some compassion. Andy Medic, a Victorian... There's already too many people involved in this story. Like, already too many human beings, like, are in this article. How many perspectives do we need to get on this bird? Like, I didn't realize that a pigeon could divide the island of Australia so harshly. I mean, they've got all sorts of other crazy animals to deal with out there. You'd think that they'd be more focused on them. I mean, they're out here, you know, with spiders the size of a basketball in their backyard, so I can't imagine that, you know, a pigeon from the U.S. is their greatest concern. But anyway, Andy Medic, a Victorian lawmaker for the Minor Animal Justice Party, called for a pigeon pardon for Joe. Should the federal government allow Joe to live, I am happy to seek assurances that he is not a flight risk. Are we being trolled? What are we doing, Associated Press? Melbourne resident Kevin Chelly Bird, the guy's name who found the emaciated bird in his backyard, his name is Kevin. It's his first name, and his last name is Chelly Bird. C-E-L-L-I dash capital B-I-R-D. Bird. That's it. I mean, further evidence that we are in a simulation and that that simulation is broken. Chelly Bird, which, by the way, sounds like a pet name for a bird. Silly bird. Chelly Bird. You know? You ever had a bird, dude? You ever owned a bird? I have, and that's the worst idea anyone has ever had as far as domestic animals goes. Like having what sort of animals to domesticate. It goes like from, you know, the top three worsts are like chimpanzees because they'll rip your face off, lions because they'll eat your butt, and then the next one is like, you know, parakeets and conures because they are the worst. They're outdoors and in the air and trees for a reason. Leave them there. They're loud and they shit everywhere. And their feathers fall. And you have to pick them up or vacuum them up. We had this bird and he was cool. He was a cool bird. He would like dance. He would like, you would like look at him. And he, you know, started doing your head up and down. He would start bobbing his head up and down, kind of jamming, kind of dancing. You know, that was cute. He would, you know, he would hop on your finger and he would hop on your, hop on your shoulder, and he would actually like tuck his little head underneath my chin, you know, which was pretty cute. But the rest of the time, he was just squawking and flinging bird shit everywhere. I mean, they make these cages for birds where, you know, they've got little lips on the outside of them, like a 6-inch kind of thing that goes on the outside, trying to catch. They look like those nets that they put on the outside of manufacturing buildings to keep the workers from jumping out the windows, or at least dying when they do so. It's what it looked like. But instead, it was to catch... Instead, it was to catch, you know, seed shells and bird shit and all this stuff that would go outside of the cage, which, of course, worked to a degree. But mostly, the bird just flung everything everywhere. And so it was all over the wall. We'd put it, you know, put it next to, and every time that someone would sneeze or cough loudly in this house, which was a very open concept house, every time somebody would do that, sometime, you know, my dad especially, who had these mondo crazy loud sneezes, every sneeze was followed by a squawk. So in the fall or in the spring, when everything was a-tush, 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 and my dad's crazy sneezes were going on, after every single one, it would be a-tuf, a-tuf, a-tuf. And nobody could have any goddamn peace and quiet. So birds are only so fun. Anyway, back to Chelybird. Chelybird had contacted the American Racing Pigeon Union to find, you know, ARPU. To find the bird's owner based on the number on the leg band. Both of the bands have a number and symbol, but Chelybird didn't remember the symbol and said he can no longer catch the bird since it has recovered from its initial weakness. And what are we talking about? There's a pigeon just, then it's gone? The bird with the genuine leg band had disappeared from a 560-kilometer race in Oregon on October 29th, Crooked River Challenge owner Lucas Kramer said. That bird did not have a racing record that would make it valuable enough to steal its identity. The bird didn't finish the race series. It didn't make any money, so it's worthless, really, Kramer said.
Jesus.
He said it was possible a pigeon could cross the Pacific on a ship from Oregon to Australia. In reality, it could potentially happen that this isn't the same pigeon. It's not even a racing pigeon. This pigeon dork knows everything about pigeons. And which ones race and which ones don't. Maybe it is a racing pigeon, okay? Maybe it's got potential. Maybe you need to be a better recruiter. Okay? Maybe you can, maybe through your tutelage, it could turn into a racing pigeon. You never know. Okay, so the bird hasn't gone away. It says, the bird spends every day in the backyard, sometimes with a native dove on a pergola. Ooh la la. I might have to change him to Aussie Joe, but he's just the same pigeon. Chelybird said. Lars Scott, a carer at Pigeon Rescue Melbourne, a bird welfare group, said pigeons with American leg bands were not uncommon around the city. A number of Melbourne breeders bought them online and used them for their own record keeping. Australian quarantine authorities are notoriously strict. In 2015, the government threatened to euthanize two Yorkshire Terriers, Pistol and Boo, after they were smuggled into the country by Hollywood star Johnny Depp and his ex-wife Amber Heard. Ooh, that's a whole other, you know, bag of worms that you don't want to talk about. Faced with a 50-hour deadline to leave Australia, the dogs made it out in a chartered jet. Jeez, man. Australians, for being so, like, known to having, like I said, these giant, like, crocodile, dinosaur crocodiles that'll eat your face and got the most poisonous bugs and in the entire world. You got freaking, you know, back leg horses that box. I don't know what you call, you know, what you can most accurately represent kangaroos with, like a person with a big ass tail and a pouch, I think, is the closest animal that we have in America to a kangaroo. And you guys can't handle a damn pigeon? Or a couple of your Yorkshire Terriers? I mean, so much hullabaloo. So, like I said, so many people, just about one pigeon. I mean, just like, I don't know. Everyone's kind of, everyone's a little bit bored. And Oklahoma coming, you know, the ARPU coming out and saying, I ain't our pigeon. I don't know what you're talking about. That pigeon looks like a commie. That pigeon looks like a, and the guy being like, oh yeah, this guy's not a racing pigeon. Come on. So I can sum up this entire, really, I can save you, you know, too long, didn't read, a guy found a pigeon. That's it. That's the story. Moving on. Another thing that I wanted to talk about, you know, you can't avoid talking about the kind of fallout. We're still dealing to a degree with the fallout from the Capitol riots.
Push me on, maced me.
As you may remember, all those lovely people that decided that enough was enough. We're going to go to the steps and storm it. Yeah. How did that work out? But I will say that a lot is coming out about, you know, who started it and how it got started and where it all came from. One of the places that people have looked is Rudy Giuliani, who, right before all of this stuff went down, was, you know, heard saying this.
Let's have trial by combat.
Yeah, trial by combat. So super fun. And of course, right after that, everybody went, you know, ballistic. By the way, if you don't think that I'm going to use that,
let's
drop,
have trial by combat
all the time, you're crazy. I mean, that's just good to have. That's good to have in work meetings. Just be like, oh, what should we do about this problem?
Let's have trial by combat.
You know, just throw that in there, pepper it in there, make everybody giggle. But I think that was probably one of the things that got people, one of the many things that got people a bit riled up. But young Rudy has come out kind of qualifying some of those things. He said that he was looking, you know, and he if you don't know what he was quoting Game of Thrones, which, I mean, trial by combat is, this is a thing, I guess that's from like the medieval times or whatever, but he talked about in the show, the guy wants trial by combat so that he can like fight for his own freedom instead of going to, you know, whatever. But he that's what happens in the show. And so Rudy Giuliani at the end, like, is not, he's kind of, it's like towards the end of his speech and he's not really getting a whole lot of response because he's an old fuck and he's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And so then he drops the, you know, trial by combat move on people and everyone freaks out. But he has since qualified that and told that it was just a Game of Thrones reference. He said, I was referring to the kind of trial that took place for Tyrion in that very famous documentary about fictitious medieval England. He clarified. That's a strong word. Giuliani clarified for the politics publication. When Tyrion, who is a very small man, is accused of murder. He didn't commit murder. He can't defend himself, and he hires a champion to defend him in that documentary about fictitious medieval England. So, you know, further proof that his brain is melting. He says the former New York City mayor further defends his pre-Capitol siege remark, sharing that it incited no violent response from the crowd. The crowd didn't jump up saying, lock him up, throw him in jail, go to hell. I've had speeches where people jump up and say, lock him up. It was not an emotion-inspiring part of the speech. So to try to take it out of context and use it is typical of the crooked left and the press. And just in case you forgot what he was talking about, it was this.
Let's have trial by combat.
Let's not. I love that he qualifies it too. He's like, look, I have said violent thing. Don't worry. I know that it wasn't something that was violent because I have said violent things before and it's been just fine. You know, and so anyway, he did that, and he compared it to the very important, because it is a documentary, Game of Thrones, and that's what people don't really understand, is that it may be a very old time that people have forgotten, but it was a very good documentary over fictitious medieval England. And a documentary that I think should have been released way earlier. I mean, who could forget the burning of Westeros in the I don't know, I can't do this joke anymore. Like, you know, it wasn't a documentary, Rudolph, and you know it. Or you don't, because your brain's melting, and that's fine. We don't have to hear from him too much longer, because whichever comes first, whether, you know, Trump gets out of the office or Rudy Giuliani dies, whichever comes first, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying that I want that. I'm just saying that he's melting from the inside out, starting with his brain. Somebody microwaved his brain. And so that's a fun little bit of American politics for you. We don't like to get political on here. Sure, the country is falling into more and more fascist thinking, but, you know, we don't want to get political here. We just want to point out how goofy some people are. And you can come to your own conclusions about how to feel about these goofy motherfuckers. So there is more talk of aliens lately, and I wish that they would just kind of hurry it up. I wish that they would, like, either shit or get off the pot, just kind of decide whether or not they're going to come visit us or not. I understand the hesitations. If you're listening to this and you are, first of all, you're a cool ass alien. If you're listening to my podcast, you are a dope ass alien, and all of your alien buddies could learn a thing or two from you. Maybe you should share this with them and see what they think. But internet's run so slow today, as is my brain. But, you know, lots more talk of aliens in the midst of all this craziness. And I have to think that they're kind of, you know, hesitant right now, given the state of what's going on. But apparently, according to Harvard's top astronomer, Dr. Avi Loeb, argues that Oumuamua, Oumuamua, there's two consonants in this eight-letter word. Oumuamua, which passed by Earth in 2017, wasn't a comet, but rather alien technology. Alien technology. You may remember in 2017 when a bizarre blunt-shaped object came whizzing our way in space. Bro, that was real. It measured approximately half a mile in length and was moving at an irregular pace, getting alien watchers excited. Which I can't imagine that if you're an alien watcher, it's super tough to get excited. The vast majority of scientists who have studied the object have said that Oumuamua. It's Oumuamua. Oumuamua was a natural phenomenon. But the head of Harvard's astronomy department just published a book in which he says he believes the giant object was alien in origin. In his book, Extraterrestrial, The First Sign of Intelligent Life Beyond Earth, Dr. A.V. Loeb lays out in 240 pages about his object from 2016 was an intergalactic attempt to contact Earth. The most exciting aspect of the possibility that Oumuamua is weird and unlike any asteroid or comet that we have seen before is that it might be a product of an alien technology. If so, we might not be the, quote, sharpest cookie in the jar or, quote, the smartest kid on the block. We should search for additional interstellar objects to find out. First of all, I can tell you right now that even if there were no aliens on that giant space blunt, that we are probably not the smartest kid on the block or the sharpest cookie in the jar. There's probably some blobs grown on the side of a rock in some distant galaxy that might have a couple more things to say, smarter than us, you know? Especially when a scientist is using metaphors like sharpest cookie in the jar and smartest kid on the block. Choose one, first of all. Also choose a better one. In 2019, researchers at the University of Maryland published a paper in Nature Astronomy concluding that the giant space blunt was bizarre because of its color, the fact it didn't have a comet-like propulsion, and the fact that it didn't give off gases in the way a comet would be expected to. But they also said it was unlikely to be alien in nature. Oumuamua's having some unusual properties is no means sufficient evidence to conclude that it must be aliens. Adding, as a scientist, I'm trained not to think in absolutes, so I can't say with 100% confidence that it wasn't aliens. Look, man, I'm not saying it's not aliens. I'm not saying it is aliens. All I'm saying is that it doesn't act like anything we've ever seen before, and it doesn't act like a regular comet, and so... But, you know, who knows? Loeb, on the other hand, said that he doesn't want to jump to conclusions and fill loopholes with assumptions. He argues in his book that this type of thinking is ignorant and we should consider all possibilities, especially because, as he says, humans aren't the smartest ones out there. This is his whole point. Most of the mainstream astronomy community continued with business as usual and ignored anomalies. Some mainstream astronomers tried to explain the anomalies, but needed to invoke objects that were never seen before, like a hydrogen iceberg or a dust bunny that are not likely to survive the long interstellar journey. He goes on, and I'm sure that his 240-page book is very fascinating and interesting about this. Sounds like, I don't know what it sounds like, but sounds like the name of a volcano. That was loud, sorry. Sounds like the name of a volcano more than a name of a space blunt. But if they did try to get in contact with us, we didn't hear it. So, hope you left a message. I know the trip was probably pretty long for you guys, and probably a little cramped in that half a mile long space blunt. But if you heard, what if Earth had an answering machine? Boo-doo-doop. We're sorry, your call cannot be completed as dialed. The Earth is suffering from global warming. Please try again later. The Earth has not gotten its shit together yet. Please try again later. We're still talking about race down here. Please try again later. We're still trying to figure out how to feed people with the overabundance of things that we have for us here on this planet. Please try again later. Boop! Maybe they did the whole Monty Python thing where it's like, they got all the way. It's like there's that scene in Monty Python and the Holy Grail where they get all the way to Camelot, which is like the big point of their whole journey, right? As they go to Camelot and then they do the whole dance and song about, I have to push the Premelot, dum 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 Camelot, right? That whole thing. And then right after that whole number ends, he's like, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot. 'Tis a silly place. I imagine that that's what the aliens did whenever they stopped by Earth. They stopped by Earth, took a couple of seconds to check the shit out and, see what they could see. And they were on second thought, let's not go to Earth. It's a silly place. But of course, they said it in an alien language, and so it sounded more like... and that's just a secret message from me to the aliens. That's need to know information that I just spat out. Speaking of interstellar things, we'll end with this because I've noticed lately online that conspiracy theorists have gotten a bad rap, and it's because they're insane, for sure. But conspiracy used to be kind of fun. It got a little crazy with flat Earth, and always, you gotta look out for people that say, I've learned that when it comes to conspiracy theories, there's like the fun conspiracy theories, right? Like, oh, I would even count flat Earth, among these theories of like, okay, yeah, sure, maybe that's not super dangerous to think. I mean, you're stupid, but like, maybe it's not that dangerous to think that, right? Or you think that like we're all in a simulation or something like that. Again, not super damaging unless you take too many bath salts and try to jump off a building thinking that you're Neo.
That's when it could get dangerous.
But, you know, lately, conspiracy theories, you talk to a conspiracy theorist these days, and about 7 out of 8 times it's going to get back to the Jews for some reason. And you're like, whoa, what? We were just talking about the possibility of all being uploaded the singularity. I didn't know we were going to get so anti-Semitic so quick. So because of folks, you know, bad actors like that, bad faith actors giving conspiracy theorists a bad name, I think that it's high time that we focus on the more fun conspiracy theories, the ones about, you know, whether or not we live in a simulation or whether or not we're being watched at all times or whether or not, you know, who knows. One of these things was something that comes out of a local news station out of, where is this freaking place? Channel 13, NBC Channel 13 out of Rockford, Illinois, that covered Elon Musk's story. So they send out these Starlink satellites from SpaceX and Elon Musk and all that business. 13 WREX viewers across northern Illinois spotted a string of lights in the sky Friday night, but they were not Christmas lights or planes. This was back in December. They were Starlink satellites. Starlink is a project created by SpaceX and CEO Elon Musk to bring high-speed internet across the world. With performance that far surpasses that of traditional satellite internet and a global network unbounded by ground infrastructure limitations, Starlink will deliver high-speed broadband internet to locations where access has been unreliable, expensive, or completely unavailable, the company's website reads. Now, personally, I think the idea of having free internet all over the place is awesome. Super tired of not having that. It's time to have that. If it means that you have a string of satellites in the air, then that's what it means. I mean, we've had satellite TV for years. You know, satellites are not a new thing. But I will say that the reason that I brought up conspiracy theorists is because I'm pretty sure they'll look in the sky, any Illinois or whoever else would have seen it, look up in the sky to see this straight line, evenly dispersed of blinking satellites. It kind of looks like a Star Wars movie, or at least Star Trek, you know? Viewers called, emailed, and sent Facebook messages asking what the string of lights traveling in the sky were. Some said they were only visible for a couple of minutes and then disappeared. Which I can only imagine. If you were one of these conspiracy theorists and say that you're one of the, you know, more innocent ones. I want to make conspiracy theories fun. I want it to be fun. I don't want it to, you know, let's go look for Bigfoot. Let's not go focusing on, you know, making a new national shame for ourselves. Okay. Let's just back off the Alex Jones and just chill. Okay. The globalists. No, but, so that, you know, the folks that are a little worried about being watched or being surveyed or living in a simulation or being taken over by aliens could have looked up at the sky and thought, well, we're going to die immediately. This is it. Lights out. You got to warn people. You can't do this after the fact. You got to say, hey, if you look up in the sky and see what looks like the onslaught of an alien fleet of ships, don't worry. It's just us trying to bring you internet. We're just trying to make 5G more available for everyone so that your brains will slowly but surely succumb to control by Bill Gates. But other than that, all we want to do is bring you free internet. Okay, we just want to set up these satellites that are equipped with high-powered telescoping cameras that can watch your every move and listen to your every word, and we're going to sell that information to corporations and governments that would do you harm. But other than that, look how cool it looks. It's a straight line. Looks like stars if they were organized by a psycho. Look, all we want to do is monitor your moves and make sure that we know exactly what you want to spend your money on and make sure that we make the best of it and get you addicted to it. Other than that, it's just fast internet, okay? No big deal. Or is it? No, it'll be fine. Bring it on, dude. We want all the internet. I want all the free internet, especially places that don't. Man, if you live out in the country and you don't want something like this, of just like as much as close as we can get to free internet around the world, I think that's the move. I think we, you know, but again, maybe warn some people before you start shooting off rockets into space. Okay, Elon, how about you just think about that instead of tweeting weird-ass memes? Elon Musk is strange, okay? Not only did he name, I know that he named his son like Meat Brought to the Power of Eight or whatever. Maybe he is. I bet they talked to you know, Elon Musk, and he was like, not yet. I don't know how to talk like Elon Musk. But he, you know, he spends half of his time talking about like SpaceX stuff. But then he tweets these like crazy, stupid, insane memes. And then he'll say like, legalize comedy. What? Like anime memes, like, and then use the most, I don't know. He just like, if you look at his Twitter account, it just, half of it's like, oh, look at this cool stuff that we're doing in our companies. And half of it's legalized comedy. Hey, we didn't follow you for your like bad takes. We followed you to watch you shoot shit in space. Stay in your lane. All right. I think that's what we're going to get out of here on. We are past the hour, so you guys have a wonderful week. Make sure that you follow me at HorseFeathersPod on Instagram, at HorseFeatherPod on Twitter, and email us any comments, complaints, violent complaints, violent threats, any of those, hate mail, all of those to horsefeatherspod@gmail.com. And as always, the Patreon will give you an extra episode each week. This week we talked about, what did we talk about this week? We talked about all kind of good shit. Oh, fascism and how we don't want that to happen anymore. It was really kind of disappointing, to be honest with you. Oh, I actually do need to bring this up. So you can go to patreon.com/horsefeatherspod. We'd be happy to have you there. $2 a month will get you an extra episode each week. So that's 4 extra episodes a month for $2. And I think Patreon has something where you can pay for it all at once and it's cheaper. Whatever you want to do, we would love to see you over there. I will say that officially it has come to my attention that Horse Feathers has made our first $100. Yay, we did it, folks. That's right. I know that may not sound like much to a lot of you, but it's a big deal to me because all I did was just start this out of nowhere, and I've got, you know, a consistent set of folks that listen, and I really appreciate that. But as I stated at the very beginning of the podcast, I've always wanted to kind of give back to the community, especially since this was a COVID baby, and this was a time, it started in a time where a lot of people were out of work and out of food and out of luck. And so our podcast will always give 50% of all earnings to those in need. Lately, we've been giving to Texas Organizing Project. And I know it's not much, but it's just kind of, it justifies me being goofy and being bad at being goofy and stumbling through this process of learning how to do this. And it makes you guys feel better about the fact that really only $1 is going to me and the rest is going to someone who probably needs it more. So that's the model. I hope I'm not, you know, anyway, but we made our first $100 and we currently are sitting at $99 from Patreon. And this month, anyway, not all this month, but you know, up to this month since we started it. And we got about $8 or $9 just from like the 0.015 cents that I get from listens. And we got that in too. So all that money is going to go to Texas Organizing Project. I told myself that the first $100 would not go to me. So that's where it's going from now on. 50% will be given to Texas Organizing Project until such an organization or place else that we need to send the money pops up. So just a fun little state of the pod update. Very happy, very proud of, you know, the things that we will be able to accomplish through the wonder of podcasting. So
I appreciate you.
And I just wanted to make sure that whenever you know, that whenever you're listening to Horse Feathers, you're not just listening to a bunch of stupid shit that probably doesn't matter. You are also
changing lives.
That's right. You're changing lives. All right, folks. We will talk to you guys soon. Have a lovely week. Stay strong. Keep your head, and we'll talk to you soon.